Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic, intuitive, and mediumship abilities. Come along as we explore how to get in touch with our intuition, expand our mediumship, and open plenty of other doors to every aspect of spirituality, consciousness, and magic along the way. Hey, keyholders. Today you'll hear a conversation all about the moon that I had last month with Christiana. Christiana brings so much knowledge and really walks us through all the basics of starting to work with the moon and infuses a lot of astrology knowledge along the way. This is an episode that I've been wanting to do for quite a while because, as you'll hear me talk about in the episode, I love the moon. I think it's so interesting, but I have and had before this episode just like very little knowledge about it. So I'm really glad that this episode was finally able to happen, and I think a lot of you are gonna learn a lot from this episode too. Something really fascinating happened in this episode. You will hear around the like 35-ish minute mark, I start to sort of wrap up the conversation because I had gotten through all my questions basically, but Christiana actually ended up asking me a question, which led us down more talk about the moon. And she ended up doing my chart. And I found out something kind of big, but that also makes a lot of sense for me. I found out in this episode, live on recording, that I am a Sagittarius moon and not a Capricorn moon. So you will hear me at the beginning of this episode tell her that I'm a Capricorn moon, because that's what I thought I was. But according to Christiana's calculations for my chart, which she read, I am actually a Sagittarius moon. And if you listen all the way to the end of the episode, it's all explained there at the end. But the question that this posed for me was, what does this mean for me now? And I left this part in the episode. I could have easily just like chopped it out and been like, this just isn't part of the episode. But I left it in the episode for a reason, because I think it's a good thing for people to hear. When our spiritual perspective is invited to shift, which it was for me in this moment, you'll hear me think through the change and everything. And I think it's an important thing for people to hear, because in spirituality, I think there's a lot of ideas presented. There's a lot of calculations of different things, and it's up to us and our discernment to decide what is for us and to allow our perspective to change. Because I could have easily said, well, no, you're wrong, I'm a Capricorn moon. But as Christiana like explained it to me, it actually made so much sense for me. And so I guess I'm sort of just inviting this conversation because I think it's good for us to just be okay with our perspective shifting within our spirituality and being able to talk through that openly. And yeah, I don't know. Honestly, it just makes a lot of sense that I'm a Sagittarius moon. So if you're interested in listening to that part of the conversation, definitely listen all the way to the end of the episode. And as I said, I don't know, I left it in because I just think it's important to, I don't know, I guess it was just this moment that, as I said, invited a perspective shift, or invited me to think, oh, it almost invited me to wonder if I've been wrong about the way I'm perceiving myself, if that makes sense. Like, okay, I was told I was a Capricorn moon, so was I automatically seeing things in myself that related to that? And that was almost a disconcerting thought. It was like, oh, was I wrong? And I obviously, like, the ego comes forward and is like, oh my gosh, was I wrong? Was I related to the wrong things? Like, all this stuff, right? And I think this is a moment where I got to work through that on recording, and you'll hear me work through that a little bit. And yeah, I guess that's why I left it in, because it feels important. So yeah. Before we hop into the episode, again, just want to remind you that I have a new mini reading option only available for April 2024. April has about 2 weeks left in it. So if you're wanting to grab that, that is in the show notes. That is the spring cleaning mini reading. I tap into your energy and receive what your soul is ready to let go of, and also what your soul, what magic and energies and goodness and greatness your soul is ready to invite in. Also, I am collecting all your spirituality questions or even stories that you want to share for a Q&A episode that I am working on with our dear pod BFF Anthony Lights. So if you do have any spirituality questions that you'd love to ask us, or stories, dreams, spirituality stories that you would love to share, please email me at openingthedoorpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening to this in the future, I am looking for questions within April, May-ish 2024. But you are absolutely welcome to always email me your spirituality questions, no matter what month or year or day or time it is. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we are welcoming back Christiana to Opening the Door. Christiana is a witch, psychic medium, astrologer, and tarot instructor based in Vancouver, Canada. Christiana has been practicing psychic development, tarot, and evolutionary astrology for around 15 years. As a queer, disabled woman, she is committed to a trauma-informed approach in her work. By merging the realms of psychic mediumship and astrology, she is able to use her gifts to support the intuitive development and personal growth of her clients. You can find her on Instagram at Earthside Medium or online at earthsidemedium.com. Christiana, welcome back to Opening the Door.
Thank you so much. I feel like this door has been open to me so many times.
I know. I was just thinking the other day, like, okay, our herbalism episode with Lux, Haunted Doll Theo vibes, and your first episode that people heard.
I think that was Spiritual Boundaries.
Spiritual Boundaries, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so this is your fourth time.
And it is.
It's just, here's the reason why I like to have people back on, is because you and so many other people I've had on the podcast have like such a deep depth and wealth of knowledge. Like, why only come on one time to talk about one thing? Especially on episodes like this, where I'm just like, I have to ask stupid questions, and I want to ask stupid questions to somebody who I already have a connection with and who I like really enjoy talking to. So yeah, I'm just so happy.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I really enjoy talking to you too. It's not just an open door for me, but it's like a second home now. Yes. Thank you, mother, for having me here. Adopt me.
Oh my gosh. I will. I accept. Just send me the papers. We'll sign them. And you're part of the little OTD fam. And we love
it. Amazing.
That.
Just don't tell my mom. Lisa would be pissed.
I'm not she's say a cancer. So.
Yeah, she's a cancer. So she'd be like, no, that's my child. Anyway, I'm excited to dive into this.
Anyway, me too. So, okay, we're talking about the moon today. And as I just mentioned, I will be asking stupid questions, because when it comes to the moon is very important in astrology, in spirituality in general. There's a lot that we can do with the moon and the moon's energy and the way the moon moves around, orbits, right? So ever since my journey began, I was like, the moon, cool. And, you know, I see people, it's like new moon in this, full moon in that. And I'm just like, babies' grasps are tight, quite tight. So I will say I have a very light grasp on what is going on with the moon up there.
And yeah, you've got like a slightly arthritic grasp.
Yeah,
on the moon.
There's a weak ass grasp on what's going on up there. And I am sure there has to be other people who are in the same boat who listen to this podcast. So I'm just like ready to learn more. So
yeah, of course.
So my first question is, what does the moon mean in the spirituality space and in astrology?
Yeah, I mean, the moon is something that we are all very deeply connected to. It is, from Earth, one of the celestial bodies that we have the most contact with, the most connection to as a collective. I mean, it's something that we see every single night The moon is visible during the day a lot of the time. We see so much lunar symbolism in many different world religions, many different spiritual practices over time. Spiritual practices that are very earth-based, like paganism, have a very deep and intertwined connection to the moon. And so a lot of us have paganism deep in our lineage. So many people are deeply connected to this somatically. They have this knowledge in their bones from their ancestors and don't actually know why they feel this deep draw to the moon or this deep connection to the moon. And our personal astrology can also give us a lot of information on how we connect to the moon. A lot of people who have Cancer in their top three and their big three in astrology, like Cancer, Sun, Moon, or Rising, are going to be very, very connected to the moon. Specifically, Cancer risings, because that places the moon as their chart ruler. So it really gives a strong emphasis. Yeah, that's you,
That's
babe. That's
me. Oh
you.
my goodness. So I
Yeah.
gotta learn about the moon.
It's true. So you're a child of the moon, you're a little lunar energy human. Like that is how you are going to charge yourself up. That's how you're going to be pulled and pushed through the energies in your life is through that planetary lens. So I think it's really powerful for you to be learning that. And one thing that I would say is the moon is not going anywhere. It's always there. It's always changing and growing and shifting. So, as time goes on, sometimes when we are doing lunar work and we're trying to sync ourselves with the moon and be more mindful of its cycles, we lose track of that. But the benefit is that it's always going to be coming back. It's always going to be kind of moving through those cycles. So, it's kind of something that even if you lose track of your practice, it's always something you can jump back into.
Ooh, so cool. Okay, I had no idea like the stuff you said about Cancer rising. So how cool is that? Okay. And I don't know, I kind of want to mention this, the amazing, I don't know, the moon just seems so amazing to me. Like we know that the moon affects our ocean tides, right? And the way that you know we see our tides move to and from. And I've always thought about that as like how if the moon is affecting these gigantic bodies of water that is like most of our planet, right? Like how could it not be affecting us? You know,
I
like
think
we're so much
yes.
smaller than the ocean.
Totally. That is 100% like an example of witch math in my head. I'm like, okay, like moon does water stuff. We made of water, witch math. Like it just makes sense. So I feel like I can break it down that simply. And the witches are probably like nodding along and being like, yes, it's witch math. Outside of that, explaining it, I am not necessarily like someone who has a super scientific background, but I do think that there is a lot to look into when it comes to like the actual math of how the planet is moving. Well, I mean, the moon is considered like a moon and not a planet. In astrology, we consider the moon and the sun as planets, technically, or just like celestial bodies. So I kind of give it the same emphasis as I would like a planet. And so you might hear me calling the moon a planet a lot, which is like technically wrong. And that's fine because I'm not perfect. Just throwing that out there. Also, I wanted to say I was very excited that we ended up rescheduling this meeting for today because I didn't even think of this, but today is the full moon in Virgo.
Yeah.
So it's like that's just interesting. It's
Yep.
Pisces season. We have a full moon in Virgo. The axis of Pisces and Virgo are opposites. So, whenever we have a full moon, we are in its opposite season. So, we're really working with the axis of those two signs. And in astrology, the axis of Pisces and Virgo is the axis of healers. We have the physical healer of Virgo and the spiritual healer of Pisces. And so, right now, the collective is really integrating a lot of those themes as we sit on that axis.
Okay, fascinating. And I'm going to ask a specific question about that a little bit, like as we get a little bit deeper after we establish our sort of foundations. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting too. So for anybody listening, originally we had this interview scheduled for sometime last week, and this episode will come out probably like later in March, but we rescheduled it and it just so happens to be on a full moon. So how cool is that we get to talk about the moon on a nice full moon day? So very cool.
It's meant to be. I think these things happen when they're meant to. And yeah, couldn't be more pleased with that.
Absolutely. Me
Yes.
too. So let's review the moon phases. So it's like I feel like the two main phases that we're sort of more familiar with in like witchcraft or spirituality in general is our new moons and full moons. But a lot happens between those, or I might be wrong, but can you take us through the moon phases? What does it mean for the moon when we say it's a new moon? What does it, I mean, we all know what a full moon is, but
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the new moon. When the moon is new, it is the darkest that it will be. It is very like just a tiny itty bitty sliver. And when the moon goes dark, this is something that we can kind of use as a reference for what we need to do during this moon phase. So when the moon goes dark, we go within. Like we are not illuminating anything on the outside. We are going deeper within the self. During a new moon, this is a perfect time to check in with the self, get really clear on what's ours, what feelings belong to us, what feelings belong to other people, what energies need to maybe be adjusted. We're looking at setting intentions during new moons. This is like the dreaming and thinking up kind of stage. As the moon grows and we continue to see that like little sliver of light increase, we move into the waxing crescent phase. And this is where we really begin to start like taking action or getting that plan kind of going or like taking the next steps in that plan of our intentions. The goal is as the moon continues to grow in its light, we are bringing those things to fruition. So those intentions that we set during the waxing crescent phase, waxing just means to grow or increase. And so you'll hear the terms waxing and waning. They basically just mean the opposites of each other. So to wane is to shrink, to wax is to grow. Waxing crescent is like that planning and outlining stage. From there, we move into the first quarter, and that's when we see the moon look like it's a half moon. And the first quarter is when we take action. It's when we have enough of that lunar energy and light to actually get us to do something, to use that energy for what we're moving forward, what we're propelling forward. And then once the moon is kind of at that halfway stage, that's a really good time to like start doing the small little action steps to get to your goal. So if you have to like send an email, reach out to certain people, make plans. The waxing gibbous phase is when it gets really big. So we're looking at a moon that's nearing full, but is not full yet. And that's a time where we're really getting into kind of a flow state with how we're bringing forth the manifestations. We're kind of doing the work at that point. And then by the time that the moon gets full, we're celebrating, we're expressing. The energetic shift goes from that new moon deep within sort of inner work to this full outer expression by the time we hit the full moon. So the full moon is like an energetic moment of intensity. And so a lot of the time, sensitive people don't necessarily love going out on full moons. I live like right downtown Vancouver, and it's just a lot. Like I literally cannot leave my house during a full moon. Like we're not going out. That's my recommendation for like anyone who's a sensitive one. And I think there's probably quite a few of those listening to this podcast. But also the full moon is a perfect time to celebrate, to express art, to express magic. I'd say this is a perfect time to release emotion, to get things out of your body, out of your system. Things like dance, painting, drawing, doing channeling work is potent on a full moon. I had a couple readings yesterday that were some of the best readings I've done in ages. And I was honestly so gagged because, like, I have been feeling quite sick lately, which is why we had to reschedule this episode because of my chronic illnesses. And I was still so tapped in. And I was just like, that Virgo full moon, though.
That's awesome.
It's very intense energy sometimes. And sometimes that can be challenging to work with. But most of the time, if we harness it in the right way, it can be something very powerful.
Okay, so cool. I appreciate you taking us through that so completely because I am definitely one to forget. It's like, okay, it's a new moon. What am I doing here? It's a full moon. What am I doing here? You know? So I really appreciate you taking us through that. And I've heard also from some other astrologers that based on what phase the moon was in when you were born can be a more powerful time for you. Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on that?
100%. Actually, like the moon phases that we went through, we're just basically going through like the new moon to the full moon. But then there's also the phases of going back into the new moon too. So that does make a difference. That's kind of like a bit of an energetic shift from that growth to that like in like that kind of like going deep within the self again. So for example, full moon turns into waning crescent, then third quarter, and then waning gibbous. And so those are kind of going back deep within the self. So if you're born during a waning moon, you might be more introverted than somebody born during a waxing moon. If you're born during a new moon, you are likely very psychic. If you're born during a full moon, you're likely very psychic. It's just different types of psychic gifts. I feel like people who are born on a new moon, their sun and moon sign are going to be the same because during a new moon, so like if we have a full moon in Pisces, that happens during Virgo season. If we have a new moon in Virgo, that takes place during Virgo season as well.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. So, yeah, let's get stupid here for a second. And this is me being stupid. And I say that lightly. Okay, everybody, don't worry. But okay, so Explain to me how the moon moves through the signs throughout the year. So when somebody says, okay, it's I think we just had like a new moon in Aquarius, right? Like a few weeks ago. Am I wrong? I might be wrong about that. But let's say, for instance, somebody says it's a new moon in
Because
Aquarius.
we just had Aquarius season, so we would have a new moon in Aquarius happen.
Okay. So new moons, tell me if I'm right about this. New moons always happen in the sign that they're in. Is that correct?
Correct. So
Okay.
during Pisces season, we have a Pisces new moon. During Aquarius season, we have an Aquarius new moon. And then the moon is kind of like at its darkest at that point. And so you can almost see it as like the deepest expression of that sign, in an internal way. And then we have the most intense expression of that sign when it goes full.
Okay, got it. So the
And that happens
full,
during its opposite season.
yes, that's what I was going to say. So, like, for instance, we right now have a full moon in, but we're
Virgo.
just in Virgo. Yeah. And it's
Yes.
not Virgo season.
It is not. It is
Correct.
Pisces season. So
Okay.
Pisces and Virgo are the opposites of each other. For example, you're a Sagittarius. So a Sagittarius full moon will take place during the opposite season of Sagittarius. So if you know your opposite sign, I believe the opposite of Sagittarius is Libra. No, Libra is the opposite of Aries. Sagittarius is the opposite of not Aquarius, Gemini. It's Gemini.
Oh,
Sorry.
yes.
Yes. So I'm like mixing up all my signs. Even for astrologers, it's hard to stay on top of it. Like, yeah, you just
No,
gotta.
no need to make excuses, girl. We all have lots. There's a lot going on in all of our brains. It's totally fine.
Yeah, totally. So, for example, like if you're a Sagittarius and you want to work with the full moon for your it during the year, like whenever that hits, it's gonna hit for you during Gemini season. So that's gonna happen in the spring, moving into summer energy. That's a really potent time for you, is to work with the Sagittarius full moon. What's your moon sign?
Capricorn, Capricorn.
Capricorn moon. Okay, so that's
Yes.
actually a really potent moon for you as well. So when the moon
Okay.
goes into Capricorn, you're having a lunar return. And that essentially just means that the moon is back in the position that it was when you were born. And we each have a lunar return about once a month because the moon moves through all of the signs about once a month, sometimes twice a month, which is called a blue moon when we have two full moons in a month. That's usually once a year, sometimes twice a year if we're really getting lucky. But yeah, I feel like when you're working with the lunar phases and you're working with certain full and new moons, work with the moon sign that you already have. So for me, I'm a Scorpio moon. During Scorpio full moon and Scorpio new moon, those are some really deep and powerful moments for me to kind of tap into my inner self. Scorpio full moon takes place during Taurus season, and Scorpio new moon takes place during Scorpio season. So if you know your moon sign, you can map out when those moons are taking place and make a note of it, because I guarantee you that it's going to be a potent date for you, in some capacity.
Okay, very cool. I feel like just based on that, I have a much better understanding of what is going on with the moon now. So I love that. What do you think about people kind of saying that like people sort of act kind of crazy during full moons? Especially like I find that teachers will say actually that they'll find that their students are just acting differently, like maybe more chaotic during a full moon time. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's super accurate. Children are feral, so they're gonna like feel the moon in their bones. Like, I deeply feel that children are like very tuned in to the natural world, and the natural world includes spirits and lunar energies and other energetic influences that we can't see or tangibly understand. So I think if your kids are going a little bananas on a full moon, like, you're probably doing a good job, because your children are wild creatures that are still connected to those cycles. And honestly, that's great, in my opinion. I think that's how children should be. If your child is like glued to an iPad and doesn't even notice the energetic shifts around them, like, I'd be way more concerned. That's just my personal take.
No,
But
I hear you.
yeah, get your kids like in the soil on a full moon. Like, let them just go buck wild. Like, I think that's kind of like how it should be. That's the childhood I long for. I think realistically, like, statistically, hospitals bring in more people during full moons. We have more accidents during full moons, more flight delays, more issues with a ton of different things, technology specifically as well. So I would say, just based on that, based on actual data, we can see that this does have an impact. It does affect us. And I think it's just about bringing some awareness to that and knowing that, like, there are energies at play here that are powerful and that we can utilize whenever we want to. And I mean, like, being a kid and getting like jazzed about the moon and getting kind of hyper is one thing, but we as adults feel those energetic changes pretty intensely as well. And when we know that we have the power to utilize that for something, when we are aware of our agency, when we're practicing witchcraft, when we're practicing the magic of intention setting and affirmations and the like working with the law of attraction and some things like this, like we can actually use those energetic forces to our advantage. And so there's some pretty cool shit that we can do with the moon, especially when it comes to like manifesting the reality that we want. I'm definitely like someone who believes in the power of manifestation, but I also think that sometimes it can be a bit victim blamey. So I do recognize that it's not always like, oh, super love and light, this is going to work out and it's best, highest good for me. It's like sometimes that's not how reality works, but I do think that there are ways that we can be working with that energy.
Cool. Oh, well, let's get into that a little bit. Like, what are some of, if you want to share, or if you just have examples that you want to share, like, what are some of your favorite things to do around the moon cycle, whether it's a new moon or a full moon? How can people really start to utilize and like pull in the moon energy into their practices and their spiritual world?
Ooh, I love that so much. That's such a powerful question. And I think that's like a really like open-ended question as well in a way, because everybody's so different. And what I would do during a new or full moon might be kind of like creepy to some people. So yeah, I'm a psychic medium and I have haunted dolls and I use divination tools and Ouija boards and I like to go a little crazy with like the divining rods and like doing weird shit. So like I don't think that's for everyone. However, something really simple that I love to do during a new or full moon is journaling. I think it's really important to do like energetic check-ins with the self. And I think whenever someone is on a spiritual journey, they are also on a self-work journey. You can't really be on a spiritual journey if you're not doing the work. It's like literally just a joke, if that's the case, because it's like we're just pretending we're having a good time. Like
Totally
a spiritual
agree.
journey 100% is just like confronting our deeper inner self and like doing hard shit. And so I feel like new moons are a perfect time to get really, really real with the stuff that you need to work on, like looking deeper within the self and having more clarity. New moons are a very introspective time. So oftentimes during new moons, we might have things come through that are really important for the self, like really important things that need to be brought to our attention. So I'd say new moons are the perfect time to just get really clear on what it is you want from your future. They're kind of like an energetic portal of creation for us where we can start to vision what we want to be doing and being and just dreaming up. And with the full moon, I'd say that's more of a time for energetic expression, like throw some paint around, like do something that makes you feel alive, like shake out energy in your body, listen to a guided meditation and cry. Like that's like we need expression during a full moon. And almost like if you hold in that expression, it's going to end up coming out in a way that we're not expecting and can sometimes be like really intense. And that's kind of where those like dramatic full moon moments kind of come into play. Also, I live like right beside a hospital. And I notice during full moons that the sirens are more intense. In my neighborhood, we have a lot of homeless people and a lot of like drug addiction. And there's a lot of just like a lot of troubled people having a rough go a lot of the time. And I noticed that the activity of like people having like meltdowns or police incidents like in my neighborhood are like way up during full moons. So that's another reason I stay inside.
Fascinating. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so fascinating to me, all of that. So our moon sign, and then we touched on this or at the beginning of this interview, but I want to, if we can, if you feel like you want or have more to say on it, like, so how does our moon sign impact us in our astrology chart? Like, we talked a little bit about Cancer risings, but is there anything else we need to know about our moon sign and how we can work with that moon energy? And if you feel like you
Absolutely.
already went over that, like we can
No,
skip
not at
that part.
all. There's always more. There's always so much more. So I think there's a couple things that I would note. One is knowing your moon sign, knowing not just the sign, but what house it falls in. Because if you know a little bit about the houses in astrology, it can really tell you what area of your life that you are focused on doing deep inner work in this lifetime. So for example, for me, I am a 12th house moon in Scorpio. So my moon is in the house of spirituality and self-work and delusion and illusions and Pisces and the mystic. So I'd say for me, like I have a lot of personal deep stuff related to that realm that I'm working through in this lifetime. Whereas if somebody has their moon in the fourth house, that is the house of home and family. That is the house of like very personal and private life. So someone with a fourth house moon might be really introverted and actually really want to do a lot of this inner work alone or not with a group, not in a vulnerable way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it
yeah.
does.
So looking at not just the moon sign, but the house that it's in as well. And if you don't know much about houses in astrology, that's totally okay. It's quite a lot to learn. You can just kind of look up the meaning of the house that it's in. I kind of like to see like the planets in the chart as the actors, and the house that they're in is kind of like the stage that they're playing on. And then the sign it's in is like the role they're playing. So it's kind of like
so
that
cool.
makes it a little easier to kind of break down. Yeah,
Absolutely.
I would say that with our personal moon signs, if you have a water sign moon, like Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, you're going to be very intuitive. You might be very psychic and not know how the heck to tap into that. So looking at where your moon sign sits can actually reveal a lot about how you are psychic or how you tap in. If you have an earth sign moon, you might be like really practically minded and have a hard time with bringing in some of these more esoteric concepts. So if you have a Taurus moon, Capricorn moon, or a Virgo moon, you might be a little bit critical in your mind when it comes to these things. And that's actually really good. That's very important. So I think that can also be something to look at as well. Looking at your moon sign and its element, if you have a fire moon, you're going to be a very passionate person. You're going to be very like drawn to the things that interest you. And you're probably going to have a hard time integrating spiritual practices that don't light you up. So there's like different ways that we can work with our moon sign to know exactly what it is that we even want to be doing when it comes to our spiritual development. I think the moon sign, out of everything in the chart, is one of the first things that I would look to tell a lot about the person. I actually think our moon sign has almost more to do with who we are than our sun sign. So for example, I'm a Pisces sun, and Pisces has this reputation for being like unconditional love, very soft, very ethereal, but I am not technically that way. I'm very Scorpio in my nature. I'm a little bit more intense and a little bit more blunt and like a little bit more like weird. So I think that combo is like, when people first meet me, they might not realize that I'm a Pisces because I identify almost more with my moon sign. And my moon and rising sign are the same. So if you have something like that, where your moon and rising sign are the same, that means that your chart ruler is actually the ruler of your moon sign. So that's kind of almost like another layer that we can look at. Like if you're a Leo sun and Leo moon and Leo rising, the sun is actually going to be really important for your work, period. And that's quite different energy to the moon. So working with the moon might feel very foreign if you're like a triple Leo or something. So there's a lot of different ways that we can kind of unpack personal astrology to look at how we can best work with our moon.
Cool. So fascinating. I am absolutely not an astrology girly in terms of me learning all the things, but I love, love hearing about it so much. And
I'm
I
so
also just,
glad.
Yeah. And I love your interpretations and your takes on stuff. I just feel like are so intuitive and fantastic. So
thank you.
Love to see it. Is there anything that I'm missing? Any other good tidbits about the moon that we need to know if we wish to work with her more?
Well, there's a lot of deities that are associated with the moon. So if there's if deity work is like up your alley as a witch or just a spiritual person, I highly recommend looking into deities that are representative of the moon. Like in Filipino culture, Mayari is the moon goddess, and my partner is Filipino and she works with Mayari. And that's something that is pretty new to her, but that's a way that she's exploring her work with the moon and the lunar cycles. God or goddess that might be more familiar to people through Greek mythology is Diana. That's the moon goddess. So a lot of people work with her as well. There's a lot of different deities that have lunar associations. I know Isis is the goddess of magic in Egyptian mythology and the Egyptian pantheon. So she is closely tied to the moon as well. Working with the archetypes of Cancer is another really beautiful way to work with the moon. And also working with a water element, period. So if you go and do meditations at a beach during a full or new moon, that's a really beautiful way to connect with lunar energy because you're connecting with the tides as well. So there's different ways that we can bring these things in depending on our spiritual practice. I love deity work. I don't really personally work with Diana or Mayari, the deities that I've mentioned, but I do work with Isis, and I find that she's very moon related. She loves the full moon. She's next level about it. So highly recommend kind of like opening yourself up to that type of connection if you're interested.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I had, speaking of like the moon and water, it was earlier in, it was October, and I was up at a lake during a full moon with a few friends, and it just happened to be a full moon. Like, we didn't go to the lake because it was a full moon, but we ended up sitting by the lake. The moon was so incredible. It was so big and so bright. And we were out there. I mean, it was cold. We were, you know, in the mountains. We were just out there for hours, just like by the lakeside, staring at the moon and talking. And it was so cool. And I feel like one of the reasons we were able to be out there for so long was because we were also next to the water and the moon was like shining down. And it was so incredible and gorgeous. So.
Yeah, there's something very magical about going to the water during a full moon. I live really close to the beach in the West End in Vancouver, so sometimes I'll try to go down and do like a little bit of a meditation by the water during a moon like that. A really simple one you can do is just breathing out when the tide goes out, breathing in as the tide comes in, and using that as a measurement for our breath and for connecting to our body, really syncing our physical rhythm with the rhythm of the water, with the rhythm of the moon. That's once you start to get into a flow state with that, like shit just comes through. So I highly recommend that meditation. It's usually like a really simple one I suggest for my clients.
So cool. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. So, do you have any final tips that people can use? Like, if they're feeling like they listen to this episode, they're like, okay, I'm ready to connect with the moon. Like, what are some of the first, like, few things that they should do to sort of start honing that connection?
I highly recommend looking at the moon phase when you were born. We kind of briefly touched on that. So I was born during a waxing gibbous phase, so that's getting pretty full. I was born on a Wednesday, which makes me a child of Mercury. Mercury is the planet that's related to the mind, information technology, which makes sense because I'm a third house sun. The third house is the house of communication. I also have my personal Mercury placement there, so that's why she's a chatty Cathy. That's why she's like this.
And that's why we love having you here.
That's true. So for me, doing lunar work on a Wednesday is actually really powerful. And also working with the waxing gibbous phase, looking at when the moon is almost full, but not quite at that energetic peak. I'm a very energetically sensitive person. So sometimes I like to do my lunar work before the moon gets super full because I honestly can't handle it. But that's just me. I am kind of a sensitive baby that way, so not everyone's gonna relate to, oh, the moon's too full. I don't get it, but okay. So I'd say learning your own lunar phase of like when you were born, working with that, and maybe understanding and feeling into why that phase is significant to you. I'd also suggest learning your own personal moon sign, learning what house it's in, and unpacking that and doing a little bit of research on it, because I guarantee you some things are gonna click that are going to be a little bit like almost too crazy. Like once we start to unpack some of our personal astrology, there's a lot of synchronicity. There's a lot of deep understanding that can come through. So I'd say those are like my two hottest tips. And also don't be afraid to explore like new methods of working with the moon. Does that involve working with a deity like Selene or Diana? Does that involve working with plant magic and medicine? There are certain plant medicines that are associated with the moon. There's a lot of crystals that are associated with the moon, like moonstone. Rainbow moonstone is one of my favorite stones to work with, especially during full moon. I think that it's really magical for intuition, intuitive development. And as a psychic medium, like working with the moon is an integral part of my practice. So, really, anyone who's working on their self-development or spiritual development or psychic development, I highly, highly recommend doing lunar work. And you can get started by just planning to journal during a full moon. That in itself is lunar work. It can be that simple.
Amazing. Amazing, Christiana. I just so appreciate you coming on once again and just dropping all the amazing knowledge. I think this episode especially is just so chock full of it. And I just so appreciate you taking the time and the energy to come and chat with us again.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Actually, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just kind of want to know, like, in your own spiritual practice, like, what has like working with the moon looked like for you so far? And like, have there been any kind of like moments that clicked for you or like aha moments with your own personal astrology or anything like this?
Yeah. Oh, good question. So I think I've always been interested in learning more. And that's why I was finally like, you know what? I have to figure out like this podcast because I need to know. I went to a new moon sound bath, like sort of ceremony last for the last new moon. And that was so Fantastic. And I really loved that. So I think for me, that really unlocked like, okay, maybe there's a new moon meditation or like guided meditation that I can be doing for myself. My aunt also gave me like a moon journal specifically. So I'm going to be working with that as well in terms of journaling, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, I think for me, I've had this, and when we were talking about that Cancer rising stuff at the beginning, this makes a lot of sense because I've always had this thing that's like, I need to be working with the moon. I need to be working with the moon. But the roadblock was, I like, where do I start? Where do I start? And so now I feel like I'm finally, after like a few years of being on this journey, I'm like figuring out how to do that. So yeah, I'm kind of like a baby moon baby, I guess.
She's a baby moon baby. I love it. Also, I was gonna say, like, working with the moon has been something that humans have been deeply interested in since the dawn of time. Like, some of the oldest cave drawings that we have found are actually mapping lunar cycles and mapping the menstrual cycles of people who were leaving those drawings. So it's like some of our oldest record keeping as humans is based on the moon. So we've always been curious. And like, I think it's kind of like inherently within us to be able to make and determine our own way of working with the moon. So I think for you, like, you're already doing that. Like, this is your own way of learning to work with the moon, is like through an investigative lens and like doing what you do best and sitting down with people and asking questions and asking good questions. And I think you're already doing it, babe.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to
No, go
see your
ahead.
chart and I want to know where your moon is, because I
That's
feel
what
like
I
I
was just thinking. Like,
can. Do
I
you mind
do.
if I calculate it really quick while we're on the
Yeah,
call?
go ahead.
Okay, give me a sec. I'll just pull up my software. Yeah, me. Like, when were you born?
When, where, why?
Yeah, 100%. That's me at any party. Like, the second I have like a single drop of alcohol, I'm just like, tell me when you were born. And if you don't know, we're calling your mom right now, even if you have a complicated relationship. And they're just like, I'm sorry, who the fuck are you?
I was at a like a really fun like dance club with my sister for her birthday last year, and oh, but she's a Pisces, by the way. That's really besides the point. But a guy was talking to her, and just like as an annoying older sister, I was like, "What's your biggest red flag?" And he was like, "I'm a Gemini,"
Oh,
and
yikes.
I was like, "Interesting." Like for me, I like one of my best friends throughout childhood and still now like is a Gemini. I feel like my dad's Gemini. I have Geminis around me.
I love Geminis. I'm just like, I'm just being a jerk.
Yeah, no, so
But
funny.
yeah, I think Geminis are the most hilarious sign. Like, they're so funny and like they tend to be self-deprecating. So I'm not surprised that he was like, I'm a Gemini. Have I done your chart before?
Don't think so.
I want to. I kind of want to do it as an episode and just roast you.
I love that idea. Like, roast me. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like a get to know me through my natal chart sort of situation.
That would be
And
really fun.
I would love to do that. Oh my God, I'm not surprised by your moon sign placement at all. I'm gonna like explain this all. Okay, because it says you're a Sag moon.
What?
Yeah, in the 29th degree. So you were off by 1 degree with your calculations. So instead of
Oh, that's interesting because another I had like
interesting,
before
because
we did our, so that's fascinating because I
we
did
might use
notice.
different types of astrology. So
Okay.
some astrologers use different house calculations, like whole sign versus what I'm using.
Okay.
Whole sign is basically like, here, let me just share my screen and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
That would kind of
But
be fucking hilarious if I was also a Sagittarius moon because my Mars, Venus, and Mercury, I think, are also
girl,
Sagittarius.
look at this sixth house stellium. Look at this. Like, she.
What does it mean?
Oh, it means so much. So, like, look at this. So, your moon, 29 degrees Sagittarius, I think actually makes a lot more sense for you than being a Capricorn moon because you're
Okay.
so open minded. Like, Capricorn moons tend to be like, no, like they're a little bit more like rigid. And for you, you're so open minded and you're so Sagittarius in nature as well. So I really
Yes.
feel this for you. Also, 29 degrees is the last degree. So this is the highest consciousness of that sign. It's basically like the highest maturity of that sign. So you have like a deeply Sagittarian moon, but almost Capricorn. It's by off by 1 degree. So I can see how that cusp might be mathematically a little challenging. My moon sign is in a very late degree as well. So if I do wrong calculations, I come up as a Sagittarius moon as well, despite being a Scorpio moon.
Okay.
Yes.
Fascinating. I'm gonna have to leave this in the podcast because this is a fascinating astrology slash spirituality moment.
It kind of is, yeah.
Because
So
when I was like found out I was a Capricorn, so first of all, CoStar gave me the wrong moon sign at some point. And so
CoStar does that.
I was wrong for a while. I think it was said it was like I was a Gemini or moon or something. And I
Like,
was like, don't, I can't relate.
I don't care if CoStar comes for me for like slander, but I think they're the worst astrology app easily.
Okay.
They don't tell you any reason for the descriptions. They don't explain any of the actual astrology. They send you passive aggressive messages,
Oh, so many,
which
so
is like,
many.
girl, I'm already passive aggressive. I don't need someone else being passive aggressive at me.
It's
It's just like,
wild.
I cannot handle it. I'm like, okay, like if I'm gonna have an app on my phone, it's not gonna sass me. So get
Yeah.
real. I just hate CoStar personally. And so many people use it and like send me their chart calculations via CoStar. And I'm like, this doesn't even show me where anything is. It just like breaks down the houses in such a weird way. Anyway, that's just like my personal take. If you're gonna use an astrology app, use Time Passages. It's really good. It's the software that I use for my chart readings. You can do a lot, and they explain everything in very great detail for beginners. I'd also suggest if you're doing your transits, Astro Future is a really, really good app. I can send you the stuff so you can put it in the description.
Cool.
Yeah, but those are great apps. Also, the Chani app. If you're gonna pay for any astrology app, there's like a free version of the Chani app, and then there's like a version you can pay for. So worth it. You get detailed descriptions with accurate information from an actual astrologer who's a queer woman. Like, I couldn't keep, I just could go on forever, but the Chani app, 100%.
Okay, cool.
Yes. So when I'm looking at this, you have this massive sixth house stellium. So we've got, like, for me as an astrologer, I do include the north and south nodes in a stellium because they're major points of calculation. So you have north node, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, and Moon. These are all of your inner planets. And the North Node, which is your higher purpose in this lifetime, all in Sagittarius, which makes sense because you are the archetype of Sagittarius. If I think about it, you're fun, like you're bubbly, like you're super adventurous, like you really embody a lot of Sagittarian qualities. But the way you embody it is through the sixth house, which is the house of healing. This is the house of service. This is the house that's ruled by Virgo. So think about all the things that Virgo represents. Like, Virgo represents like a very diplomatic, a very discerning perspective on a lot of things. And you do this through a Sagittarius lens. So the way that you are of service to other people is through joy, abundance, optimism. And you do this through so many of your energetic expressions, through Mercury, the planet of communication, through Venus, the way you relate to others, through your ego, the sun, through your personal will, Mars, and through your deepest inner self, the moon. And the deepest inner self is the highest degree of Sagittarius, the 29th degree, showing that you have a very old soul in a Sagittarian expression. And these are coming together in the house of healing. Look at all of these interactions in the middle of the chart, all the aspects or all these lines, and we can see that there's so many things coming into play with the sixth house. So for you in your life, a lot of the challenges, struggles, and rewards that you will reap the benefits of are all directly related to your own personal healing journey and the way that you use your healing to heal others. Like sixth house
Fascinating.
stellium, like I am not shocked. Like literally, like almost everyone that comes to me for a chart reading is a healer in some capacity. It's a theme. It's also something I've asked the universe for, is because I want to work with healers. I want to work with people who are uplifting consciousness. I want to work with people who have good, positive intentions for magic. And I look at this chart and I am like, okay, I'm being literally handed what I asked for.
Oh my gosh, wow. That is
Yeah.
so fascinating. Okay, when the Capricorn moon, I want to talk through this because I think if somebody's listening, and I think I'm going to leave this in the episode for people to like listen to because I think it's really interesting. Like when I found out, okay, I'm a Capricorn moon, or like when that was presented to me, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like I do feel that sometimes I do have that like almost shade of like darkness, or like I don't know how to explain it, like just that little Capricorn moment inside of me, right? So can that be explained by it just being so like basically on the line between Capricorn and Sagittarius, that
Yes.
moon?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, there's different house calculations in astrology. And so, when we're looking at this chart here, we're looking at Placidus. The Placidus house calculation does something where we're looking at something called intercepted houses. So this is probably going to go over the head of a lot of people, so we don't have to include this if you don't want to. But if you look at how each line that starts off the houses has different lines of color on the outside, we can see that your first house is ruled by Cancer. The second house is actually also ruled by Cancer, not Sagittarius, but or not Leo rather, but Leo rules the third house. We've got Virgo ruling the fourth house. These are energies that are kind of overlaying the houses, whereas opposed to whole sign, I'm actually going to show you. I'm going to edit the house calculations real quick, and I'm just going to show you what whole sign looks like. This still gives you a Sagittarius moon, so I don't know if the other astrologer used whole sign calculation, but you can see now the houses are ruled by individual signs and there's no interceptions. I don't like to use this because I don't find it is very accurate. I like to look at the house calculations as a little bit more overlaying, like through Placidus house calculation, because I feel that this is more accurate to the energies because we can have multiple energies working within one space.
Okay, fascinating. Oh my goodness. This is like a, it's like almost a perspective shift. It's so interesting. And I think for people listening, it's like, I think the question might can come up. It's like, well, then like all the things she was relating to it as a Capricorn moon, like what happens to that? What happens to that perspective that I was having? Or like, okay, I'm being presented new information. How it's like, how am I choosing to work with that now? And I think you're right. I think I've always really deeply related to being a Sagittarius, like from my birth. Like, yes, I think you're right. I present very much Sagittarian. I like the way that I think, the way that I, you know, move throughout the world. And I think this can be, in my opinion, and you're the professional here, but in my opinion, I think that sort of slight Capricorn edge, that slight Capricorn moony edge that I was am or do feel is because it's so close to that other, my moon is so close to that other sign. Does that make sense?
It really, really does. And actually, where we see Capricorn in your chart is it rules your seventh house. And this is the way you relate to other people. So, this is the house of marriage and relationships and partnership of all kinds. And you actually have a couple players here. We've got Neptune and Uranus, both in Capricorn. This is something that's like a generational placement for a lot of people that are around our age. I also have Neptune and Uranus conjunct in Capricorn because Neptune and Uranus move so slowly that it affects us on a larger scale. So more people for a larger and longer period of time will have this exact sort of thing in their chart. It's going to hit in different spots in their chart depending on their personal calculations. But Neptune is the mystic and Uranus is the rebel. And when they're in Capricorn, they're basically in the sign of leadership and they're in the sign of like hard work and determination. So there's a lot of energy that you have in your personal relationships to be a rebel, but to do it in a structured way, to be a mystic, but to do it in a structured way through the lens of Capricorn. So I do think that these energies, these Capricorn energies, are coming through in a very magical way for you and not a conventional Capricorn way. And I also see that in the house of marriage and relationships, this is a really important part of how you relate to other people. Is almost in a Capricorn energy. So I can see why you would identify with that, especially when it comes to relating to others, which is a deep part of your personal moon sign because it sits in the sixth house of service. So I think there's a couple things that we maybe got twisted in the original chart calculation, but that could also just be different chart calculations for different types of astrology. And that doesn't mean that anything is wrong about that. It just is a different perspective on looking at the same thing. And I do believe that every astrologer is correct in their assumptions, in their direction, in what they're doing. It just highlights and brings through different medicine. And some medicines are going to be better for certain people. And for me, I personally choose to look at astrology through a Western lens. I'm white. I'm not going to go around practicing Vedic astrology. That's just not something I feel comfortable with. Although I do find Vedic astrology to be more mathematically accurate to the actual placement of where the planets are. Western astrology is a tradition that is something that I have studied the whole time that I've been practicing astrology. So I feel very comfortable about it. But even within Western astrology, there's many different types of astrology. Like we have Hellenistic astrology, which is based largely on like Greek mythology and a lot of the myth and lore that we unpacked in that time. It has a lot of ancient wisdom. So a lot of Hellenistic astrologers will rely deeply on the mythology of each of the planetary stories, where Saturn comes from, who Saturn is, the Chronos lens of Saturn. There's a lot of like different things like that. Whereas like I don't necessarily focus so much on myths. I like to focus on myth a little bit for Chiron and some certain placements that I think are worth diving into the myth and lore, but mostly what I do is done through a pretty like modern evolutionary astrology lens, which is based on the idea that the soul is constantly evolving and learning lessons in this lifetime, and that we came into this specific incarnation with a goal and a purpose. And so that's the lens that I utilize for astrology, because as a medium, that's how I see life and that's how I see the world.
Cool. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks so much for impromptu taking a look at that. That is so fascinating. I absolutely learned so many new things
I
today.
really like, there's so much more I can unpack, Haley. Like, you're gonna have to let me read your chart sometime, because
Oh
I
my
would love
gosh,
to.
absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love that actually. That would be so fun. Well, as I said earlier, and thank you so much for taking us on that journey here at the end. And I just so appreciate you taking the time to come on and teach us and share all your time and energy and wisdom with us.
Of course. And if you ever have any astrology questions personally, you know who to call. I'm your girl.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, don't forget to rate and leave a review wherever you listen. Follow me on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast and visit my website, openingthedoorpodcast.com, to explore my reading offerings, digital downloads, and more. Plus, subscribe to my email list to be the first to know about OTD news and offerings.